I think that we should come up to speed here. And so here's what happened. What happened was the children of Israel went into battle against this tiny little city called Ai, and they lost the battle. They only sent 3,000 soldiers in. They didn't seek the Lord, and they lost that battle. Although God had promised them, He said to Joshua, "Be strong and courageous, and every place that the sole of your foot touches, I have given it to you. Just go in and take it." Well, they went in to take Ai, but they lost the battle. And Joshua, the commander, the general, was a little bit confused. And as he cried out to God, God told him, "You need to get up. You know, you should have been praying before you went into battle. There's sin in the camp. And I will not be with you in any more victories until you take care of the sin that's in the camp." And so there was our lesson. And Joshua and the children of Israel, they took care of the sin that was in the camp. And you recall how all that worked with Achan. Achan stole a large amount of money and some beautiful Babylonian clothes, a coat or a cloak. And it cost him dearly. Cost his life and the lives of his family. Those were his house and everything he owned. Well, now we come to Joshua chapter 8. Let me read the last verse of Joshua chapter 7. It's verse 26. "They raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day." Over Achan, remember, he had sinned and was put to death. They stoned him to death and burned him with fire. "And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his wrath, of his anger. Wherefore the name of the place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day." So now we're back up to speed. You remember Achan put to death. Now the anger of the Lord is now turned away. The Lord is now with them once again because the sin in the camp was dealt with. And so the lesson for us before we move into chapter 8, the lesson, sin, deal with it now. Just deal with it. Don't carry it. We don't need to carry it with us. We don't need to hold on to it. We don't need to explain why we do what we do or have everybody understand that the reason we're disobedient is someone else's fault. You see, it never works. Someone can make you mad and they can provoke you, but they can't make you hit them. Right? If you hit them, that's sin on your part. Nobody made you do that. And so we learn from these things. We need to confess the sin while it's in his heart stages. Okay, so look at chapter 8 now. They're going to go into battle again against Ai. "And the Lord said to Joshua," chapter 8, verse 1, "Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with you. Arise, go up to Ai." See? "I have given into thy hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land." Israel has just suffered an embarrassing and a painful defeat. One of the smallest cities in this new land, in this promised land, just beat them. Remember, a few dozen of their soldiers were killed. They ran away in retreat. God's children, the nation of Israel, with God Almighty as their commander, and they ran away in retreat. It was an embarrassing and painful defeat. Once the sin was dealt with, though, listen to what God says. "Don't be afraid or be dismayed." Another word for dismayed could be shattered. You see, Israel, their hearts melted. They were brokenhearted, and now they're scared again because of this battle of Ai. So the Lord says, "Don't be afraid nor be dismayed." And here's God says, "Listen to me. Here's what you need to do. Take your entire army." I'll read it again. "The Lord said to Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war. Take your entire army." I believe that we learned last time they underestimated the ability of their opponent. You never do that. And they did. And had they went to seek the Lord, Lord, how should we do this with Ai? I think the Lord would have said, that's easy. I want you to take every one of your fighting men. Take them all out, and I'll show you how to split them up. And that's what God's going to do. Take all the people of war with you. Arise, go up to Ai, because I've given it to you. Don't be afraid. You see, God right away says, don't be afraid. I'm with you. And notice, God all along had a battle plan. And his battle plan was nothing like what they picked for a battle plan. Did you notice that? They sent 3,000 guys in thinking we don't need all 3,000. And they got routed severely. Had they sought the Lord would have said, I have a battle plan. Christian, all you have to do is write in the margin of your Bible. You don't even have to write the date. Just write in the margin of your Bible. Don't use your own battle strategy. God has a strategy worked out. He has a plan for your life. If you'll wait upon the Lord, He'll renew your strength. He's got a battle plan. He knows what direction He would want you to go. Even though that direction may look dangerous to you, God's got a plan. Don't implement your own. Look what happens. Remember, we talked about Ai representing the flesh. The flesh beat them badly. But God says, hey, listen, stick with me. I've got a battle plan. Here's what I want you to do. Take all the soldiers. Take your whole army and attack Ai. And don't be afraid or shattered or crushed. Because, see, I have given into your hand the king, his people, his city, and his land. It's his today. It'll be yours tomorrow. Go get it today. Or it'll be yours by the end of the day, I guess we could say. And thou shalt do to Ai, verse 2, and her king, as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall you take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee in ambush for the city behind it. You'll defeat this king. You'll take this city as easily as you defeated Jericho. You'll do this. Just trust me. Don't be afraid. And this time, just as God promised, all the spoil is yours to take. When the soldiers go in, as they're burning the city, they'll take the cattle, the herds. Maybe they'll find some gold and some silver and some nice clothing. This time you take all the spoils. Now we have to stop here and think about that for a second. Just those first two verses, especially verse 2. Now think about how sad verse 2 is. Let me read it again. Thou shalt do to Ai and her king as you did unto Jericho and her king. Only this time, the spoil thereof, the cattle thereof, shall you take for a prey unto yourselves. Now isn't that sad? You say, why? If Achan would have only waited a couple of days, he could have had all the gold he could carry. Everything he found when he went into that city, he could keep for himself. If he thought some of the clothing was very pretty, he could take it with no guilt on his conscience because the Lord said, the first city is mine. The first fruits belong to the Lord, but all the rest is yours. Had Achan just waited on the Lord a few days, he'd still be alive. So would his family, and he would have whatever he was able to take. Do you hear that, Christian? It's a lesson. Here we go again for me and for you. If we could just wait a little bit instead of trying to take now what we want. If you could wait just a little bit instead of trying to get for you. When the whole world says you got to grab for all the gusto you can get. Because you only go around once in life. Well, that part's right. Going around once in life, that's right. But I don't think you should grab for all the gusto you can get. I think you should wait on the Lord because the Lord's going to set it up where you will be blessed out of your socks. But Achan couldn't wait. He lusted after, he coveted after, and so he took it now. Can't you wait just another couple of days, Achan? Do you know every other city, the Lord's already told us, it's ours. I don't know what's in AI, but whatever's there, whatever you loot, take it. It's yours. I give you the city and everything in it and the land. How sad. He could have had all the stuff he could carry and more. He could have made trips in and out of the city. Not have to hide it. What do you got? I found this big old toaster, man. I'm headed out. It's not really looting like you saw in New Orleans. It's taking the spoils of war. Oh, how sad some of us catch ourselves in trouble because we couldn't wait. Well, if we just wait on the Lord, He will bless. He will work. But our flesh wants it now. Jesus says, when you read the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are you. Blessed is the one who is poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Remember those? Oh, how happy. Blessed are you. When men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Then he goes on and says this, listen closely. For great is your reward in heaven. Can't we wait just a little longer? Instead of trying to get it all here and now. Paul will write to the Corinthians because the Corinthians were a litigious society. Go look that up. Woo, that was a big one. They were suing each other. They'd wake up in the morning, read the paper, sue the paper. They were just suing right and left. Brother taking brother to court. Remember what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 6? He says, it's better to just suffer the loss. Suffer the loss. Why? Because you may not have it right this moment, but soon, great is your reward. Achan, could you have waited just another day or two? Now, the sadness, people were killed, Achan and his family put to death. A lesson for me, lesson for you. Our flesh wants it now. And we get ourselves into trouble. And notice, we sometimes even destroy our own lives and our own families over not being willing to humble ourselves and just wait. Wait on the Lord. And you say, well, I did that, man. I made a wreck of everything. Here's good news. His mercies are new every morning. His compassions never fail. The Bible says, Lamentations 3, great is thy faithfulness. Yesterday you can't change. Tomorrow you can't get to yet. But you can sure do today, can't you? Well, God says, Joshua, take all the soldiers, and I want you to set up an ambush behind the city of Ai. Verse 3 says, so Joshua arose, and all the people of war, that's all the army, all the guys, to go up against Ai. And Joshua chose out 30,000 mighty men. Now, they sent 3,000 in a few days ago. That wasn't pretty. God says, take them all. So Joshua chose 30,000. Now, this is just 30,000 men of valor, sent them away by night. This is not the whole army. He just chose out 30,000 that are going to go lay in wait in ambush behind the city. He commanded them, saying, behold, verse 4, you shall lie in wait against the city, even behind the city. Go not very far from the city, but be ye all ready. So you go out tonight. Sneak in, hide behind the city, hide 30,000 men. They're behind the city, and we'll give you a signal when we're ready. And I, verse 5, and all the people that are with me will approach unto the city. And it shall come to pass, when they come out against us, as at the first, that we will flee before them. We'll march straight toward the city, make sure they see our armies coming. You sneak in by night and hide behind the city. That would be west of the city. And we'll just come in straight forward. They'll see us coming and they'll think, oh, here they come again for another beating. And if they come after us, which I know they will, he says, we'll turn and run. Verse 6 says, I know they will. Look, for they will come out after us. They did it once, and we ran, and they won. I know they'll do it again. Till we have drawn them from the city, for they will say, they flee before us, as at the first, therefore we'll flee before them. Then you shall rise up from the ambush, seize upon the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. And it shall be when you have taken the city, that you shall set the city on fire, according to the commandment of the Lord, shall you do. See, I have commanded you. Joshua therefore sent them forth, and they went to lie in ambush, and abode between Bethel and Ai, on the west side of Ai. But Joshua lodged that night among the people. 30,000 men leave the night before the battle, quietly go around the city, you know, just take a long way around. It's going to take them a little bit longer. Go around the city. So it's a forced march. They'll march most of the night. They'll get there and they'll take up a hiding place just west of Ai, kind of between Bethel, sort of, and Ai. And so you've got, that's pretty smart. See, this is what God told them to do. Now that's pretty smart. Why is that? Well, because you've got Ai, and now Ai, they fended off one attack, and they killed dozens of Israelis. You remember that? So Ai now has had time to get a message to Bethel, and they could say, so send some of your soldiers. So if you get your troops in between both cities, if there's some reinforcements coming out of Bethel, you could handle them pretty quickly, couldn't you? So see, you're in a great, this is good battle strategy he's got going on here. This is God's battle strategy. They should have listened to him in the first place. Well, these men went, they hid by night, so they could enter into the city when all the armies were out of the city. It's a great plan. Joshua says, we'll just come marching straight down the road. They'll see us coming for a long way off. And they'll assume we're going to do the same thing that we did the other day. They'll assume we're going to run away from them. So we'll make sure they see us. We'll draw them out. And if they start to chase us, we'll run. And as we run, all the armies are going to join in. We got them on the run, and they'll all join in. And so they're going to leave the city defenseless. Now, little do they know that behind the city, 30,000 men are waiting, and they'll come in, and there won't be hardly a shot fired. They're going to walk in, take the city, and put people to death and set it on fire. Great plan. I like it. Verse 10 says, and Joshua rose up early in the morning, and he numbered the people and went up, and he and the elders of Israel before the people to Ai. And all the people, even the people of war that were with him, went up and drew near and came before the city and pitched on the north side of Ai. Now, there was a valley between them and Ai. Made sure they pitched their tents there. So they march up. The city can see them. They set up their camp. The city can see that. By the way, it's about a 15-mile march from Gilgal, where they're staying, to Ai. Early the next morning, main part of the body, the armored body, marched about 15 miles and camped in plain sight of the city, just across the valley, just to make sure, Commander Joshua is making sure they can see us, and he knows they're going to think we're going to run. Well, look at verse 12. He took about 5,000 men and sent them to lie in ambush between Bethel and Ai, on the other side. So now, you know, again, you want to make sure that you've got enough troops between the two cities in case the other city decides they're going to send reinforcements and get in on the act. You want to be prepared for all that. And when they had set the people, even all the host that was on the north of the city and their liers in wait on the west of the city, Joshua went that night into the midst of the valley. So we have 30,000 hiding behind the city. We now have 5,000 men positioned between Bethel, a little further north, and Ai, to cut off any reinforcements or to cut off any of those who decide to run away from the armies of Ai. So the battle's ready. And it came to pass, when the king of Ai saw it, that they hurried and rose up early, and the men of the city went out against Israel to battle, he and all his people, at a time appointed before the plain. But he wist not or did not know that there were liars in ambush against him behind the city. Not people that weren't telling the truth. That means they were lying in wait. They were hiding in ambush. And Joshua, verse 15 says, and all Israel made as if they were beaten before them and fled by the way of the wilderness. You see, once the king of Ai brings out his troops to battle, Israel, Joshua, the commander, turns and says, everybody run, which was the plan. And they all began to run away, just as they did in the last battle. And there was not a man left in Ai, verse 17. Or Bethel. Notice the Bethel warriors came out to fight. There was not a man left in Ai or Bethel that went not out after Israel, and they left the city open. That means wide open, and pursued after Israel. Once again, they are making the same mistake that Israel did the first time. Israel underestimated the ability of their opponents. Now the people of Bethel and Ai are underestimating the children of Israel. We got them on the run. Go, we got them. And they left their cities unguarded, unattended. And the Lord said to Joshua, verse 18, stretch out the spear that is in your hand toward Ai, for I will give it into thine hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that he had in his hand toward the city. That was the signal for those 30,000 who were hiding behind the city, just west of the city. That was their signal to attack. And the ambush arose quickly out of their place. And they ran as soon as he had stretched out his hand, and they entered into the city and took it. They took the city without a fight. And they hurried hasted and set the city on fire. You would have thought that the king of Ai was a much better commanding general than that, to leave his city completely unguarded. But, you know, we won the last battle a few days ago. This is going to be the same. You know what you do when you assume. Well, verse 20 says, when the men of Ai looked behind them, now the city's on fire, so smoke is rising in the air. When they looked behind them, the Bible says, they saw, and behold, the smoke of the city ascend up to heaven. And they had no power to flee this way or that. In other words, they were surrounded. You've got the 5,000 over here. You've got Israeli troops now who are going to turn around. You've just run into basically an ambush. Now your army is surrounded and your city's already under the enemy's control. The men of Ai looked behind them, and they saw, and behold, the smoke of the city ascended up to heaven. They had no power to flee this way or that. And the people that fled to the wilderness turned back upon the pursuers. That means the armies of Israel quit running, turned around to fight. And when Joshua and all Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city and that the smoke of the city ascended, then they turned again and slew the men of Ai. And the other issued out of the city against them, so they were in the midst of Israel, some on this side, some on that side. They smote them so that they let none of them remain or escape. You see what's going on? You've brought out the entire armies out into this valley, away from the city. The 30,000 went in, set the city on fire. They now control the city. And some of them stayed back to keep an eye on the city, but most of those 30,000 now came out to fight, and Israel turned around to fight, and you got the 5,000 on the north side over here. So all of a sudden, the armies of Ai are completely surrounded. They're in trouble. It worked. God's battle plan worked. Now I know you're not surprised. I'm not surprised. We're not surprised, are we? Are you surprised? No, of course. God has a battle plan that's going to work. Yet, we catch ourselves, don't we catch ourselves not looking to Him for battle plans? I mean, His plans always work. But you know, Lord, I'm going to try this one on my own. I think I got that. I'm pretty good at this. So we're going to try this. Instead of praying and seeking the Lord and saying, Lord, we've done this 1,000 times, but how would you like it done now? Lord, I'm really familiar with this. This is familiar ground to me, but it is your battle. And so, Lord, how would you have it done? What do you say? What is your will concerning this? We always pray, don't we? Shouldn't we? And Commander Joshua, he's learning the lesson Oh, it was a hard lesson to learn, but you and I can learn from him. So it makes it a little easier to learn for us. Even though we're familiar, even though we're good at this, even though we're on familiar ground, we should call upon the Lord and say, Lord, we've done this a lot of times. How should we do it now? Do you want us to do it the same way you had us do it last time? Do you have another plan? Lord, what is your plan? When the armies of Ai turned back toward the city to see it smoking, they knew right then they'd lost the city. We're too far from it. We've made a military blunder. City's gone. And of course, these people were put to death as well. Israel surrounded them and they were defeated. The victory belonged to the Lord. This was God's strategy. It was God's battle plan. You will always have victory in Jesus. Always. We will always have, if we will trust him and obey. The hard part is there are times when we usually feel like we know better. Well, this is what God says. That won't work. That couldn't possibly work. How could that work? I'm going to get ripped off if we do it that way. Oh, somebody's going to get hurt if we try to do it that way. That doesn't make sense. No. God's ways always work. And God's ways, as the Bible teaches, his ways are not our ways. His ways are higher than our ways. You see God doing things and you think, how could that help? And yet, sure enough, it does. He works it out and it actually brings him glory and it works. And you're surprised and go, whoa, I thought that would never. Well, look at verse 23. And the king of Ai, they took him alive. They brought him to Joshua. And it came to pass, when Israel had made an end of slaying all the inhabitants of Ai in the field, in the wilderness wherein they chased them, when they were all fallen on the edge of the sword until they were consumed, that all the Israelites returned into Ai and smote it with the edge of the sword. And so it was that all that fell that day, both of men and of women, were 12,000, even all the men of Ai. For Joshua drew not his hand back, wherewith he stretched out the spear, until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai, which is what God sent him to do. Only the cattle and the spoil of the city Israel took for a prey unto themselves, according to the word of the Lord which he commanded Joshua. And Joshua burnt Ai and made it a heap forever, even a desolation unto this day, when this book was being written. And the king of Ai, he hanged on a tree until eventide, until the evening. And as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take his carcass down from the tree, cast it at the entering of the gate of the city, and raise thereon a great heap of stones that remains unto this day. They took the king alive. And all the armies were destroyed, and all the inhabitants of the city were destroyed. 12,000 were put to death that day. And the army of Israel, after their victory, took of the herds and the flocks and of the spoils of war, with God's permission, they took what was valuable before burning the city to the ground. And the Bible says they hung the king finally, after he watched his whole city destroyed. They hung the king. Left him hanging there until evening. According to Deuteronomy chapter 21, according to the law, they had to take the person that was hanging down by evening. And they took him and they buried him, really basically, beneath a pile of rocks, pile of stones, there in front of the city. The city was destroyed and a curse put on it. It's made a heap forever. When we do things God's way, the victory's sure. When we do things our own way, usually the defeat is sure. And we know it's true. Yet reading through these kinds of chapters in the Bible reminds us about our own lives. How important it really is to be in fellowship with the Lord. First of all, obviously to be born again, to have Jesus Christ in your heart. Second of all, to be men and women, young people of the Word. Reading our Bibles, studying our Bibles, remaining in good fellowship with the Lord and with one another. Those are important things. Well, verse 30. Then Joshua built an altar to the Lord God of Israel, in Mount Ebal. As Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones over which no man had lifted up any iron. They offered thereon burnt offerings unto the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. Remember in the law we read that they would build the altar. When they built the altar, they wouldn't cut the stones. They wouldn't take stones and chip them away and make it a nice, beautiful, nice fit. You see, because God was communicating to them that He wasn't going to accept any of the work of their own hands. It had to be God's work alone. God created the stones, so you don't reshape them. You just build yourself an altar out of the natural stones and offer there. And all God was teaching them is not that it's a sin to be a mason or to be a stone cutter, but that when you're offering to the Lord, the work of our own hands is not acceptable. And so they offered to the Lord. He built an altar. Because of the command in Deuteronomy 27, Joshua stops and he takes time to build an altar of uncut stones there on Mount Ebal. And they offered to the Lord there burnt offerings, sacrifices to the Lord. Also, peace offerings. As you read through it in the law, you'd see them also called fellowship offerings. Just as the law has it written. Some of the spoils from that day, some of the cattle that they took, some of the flocks, some of the herds that they took, they would have taken of those and offered those to the Lord. Sacrifices unto the Lord. Fellowship or peace offerings unto the Lord. Just to thank the Lord. You'll read in the New Testament, we don't offer those sacrifices. Jesus Christ shed blood. There's now no need for any more sacrifices. But you notice we do offer to the Lord our thanks. And you'll see quite often in the New Testament, be thankful. Be content with such things as you have. Be ye thankful. And we celebrate here in the United States of America a day that we call Thanksgiving. Now, of course, it's good to stop and take one day and think about it. But, you know, for Christians, every day is Thanksgiving, isn't it? Every day is, because we need to be thankful people. We're grateful for what you've given us today. Jesus, when they said, teach us to pray, he says, pray along these lines. And then he comes to the part after he says, our Father which art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. You know, and we should be thankful that he has done just that. We don't want to take these kind of things for granted. So yeah, one day a year, it's great to celebrate Thanksgiving as a nation. But remember, we're Christians, and so every day to you and me is Thanksgiving. We thank the Lord every day for all that we have. We offer to him the sacrifices, the Bible says, sacrifice of praise. The fruit of our lips, giving praise to God. We say thank you. We thank him not only for what he has done, but we thank him for what he's doing. Even though sometimes what he's doing, we're not sure we really like it. Isn't that true? Sometimes you're in a situation, you go, I know you're in this, Lord, but I'm not real comfortable here. But I thank you that in this, I know you're working and you're in control. And we also thank him for the things he's promised that he hasn't even done yet. Lord, I thank you for your promises. You said that you would come back and get me. And I thank you for that, and I believe you, and I'm counting on it. So we're thankful. And that's what they are. They're just offering sacrifices and peace offerings, fellowship offerings to the Lord. Now look at verse 32. And he wrote there upon the stones, a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. Now the scholars think that would have taken too long, because you can go back and read through Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, the five books. You can see it's quite a bit there. And so scholars think that's just too much to write. I have no problem with them writing it. I don't think for one moment it was just the Ten Commandments carved on stones there in the Promised Land. I believe it was the law, exactly as God's Word said. He wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. You see, after offering thanksgiving, worship to the Lord on the altar there, next they set up some large stones, and right there on the surfaces of those stones, he had the law written out. So that, and those are some big stones now. Those are some pretty good sized stones. They've seen some of these kind of stones set up over in Persia, over in Iran, the area of Iran, and you'll see some of the law of the Persians written on these, and some of these pillars were 12 and 15 feet tall, completely covered in writing. Well, he set these stones up, had the law written on them. That means from this day forward, everybody who passes by here is going to see these stones. If you can read the Hebrew language, you're going to be able to read the law. If you can't, the kids are going to say, "Mom, what does that say? Dad, can you read that?" And you're going to be telling them that's the law of the Lord written on these stones, the entire law. Now, I've got to believe that had to take a little while, don't you think? How do you write on stones? You know, pull out your little ink pad. So it took them a little while. I'm sure that was a little bit of work, aren't you? And verse 33 says, "And all Israel, and their elders and officers, and their judges, stood on this side the ark, and on that side before the priests, the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, as well as the stranger, or as well the stranger as he that was born among them, half of them over against Mount Gerizim, and half of them over against Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded before, that they should bless the people of Israel. And afterward, he read all the words of the law, the blessings and cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua did not read before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the children and the strangers that were conversant among them." So the chapter ends. It's a victory chapter. And they worship the Lord's sacrifices and offerings of peace, fellowship offerings before the Lord. And then they set up large pillars, stones, and they write upon these the law of Moses. Now, once this is done, Joshua himself reads the entire law. How long would that have taken? Oh, I don't know. If you just go at a normal pace and you're looking at the first five books, yeah, probably a few hours, all day, maybe. And do you notice that even the children were there? The men, the women, and the children. And the strangers who had decided to hook up with him. That means that Rahab and her family were there. And Joshua read the entire law. And the Bible makes it clear, it says, he read it, and I think he's reading it from the stones, by the way. He read it and didn't leave one word out. He read every word that was written in the law that Moses had written. Every word. You know, Moses did that before the people entered into the Promised Land. Recall that? Moses stood there. There in the book of Deuteronomy, before they entered in, Moses wasn't allowed to go in. So he read the entire law over again to them. Everybody had to sit and listen. Well, the truth is, Moses would sit because the teacher would sit and the students would stand. And so the Bible says back then they stood for hours and hours listening to the Word of God, listening to every word. The Ark of the Covenant was positioned in the center, there in the valley, the Bible says, between the two mountains. Joshua read every word that was written in the law. He read every word out loud to the children of Israel. I like it. You got to imagine the sight, because you've got half of the people on Mount Gerizim on the little side of the hill, and you've got half the people on Mount Ebal, and in the middle, in the center, in the valley, you've got the Ark of the Covenant and the Levites and the priests and some of the community, the community leaders. And so you got a couple million people on the slopes of these two mountains and here in the valley. And you've got this natural amphitheater. If you get up in there and you speak, that the sound's going to just carry and everybody's going to be able to hear. He begins to read. Imagine the voice of Joshua, and it would be saying it, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your whole, your soul, all your strength. The blessings and the cursings. Remember, if you disobey, I will take you out of the land." Remember, written in the law, the cursings as well as the blessings, the whole law. If you will obey, then I will bless. If you will disobey, then you will be taken from the land. And you remember all that the law has. And the children, the little children, were included in this group. What a lesson. Because I know sometimes we think teens should go their own way and not have to put up with the Bible. I hear a lot of churches don't worry about Bible study with their teens because teens aren't old enough to really grasp it. And here, every man, woman, and child listened to God's word. I think that's what ought to be happening at every church. That every man, woman, and child, and the strangers, the visitors, ought to hear God's word verse by verse. What they do with it is always their business, but they ought to hear it. And I think enough people aren't hearing the word of God. I like it. The children weren't sent out to some caretaker for the day. They were there hearing the word of God. They were now in the promised land because of the mercy and the kindness of God. There they were in the promised land. He promised them he would take them to the promised land, that he would give it to them. And there they are, reading the law out loud, hearing the word of God out loud in the land of promise. After 40 long years out there in the wilderness, wondering, are we ever going to get there? What was their part in this whole thing? The children of Israel, what was their part? Trust and obey. It's really that simple, isn't it? Just trust and obey. You say, well, New Testament, you know, we're not under the works, under the law. No, you're right. But Jesus will say, if you love me, obey me. Trust me and obey is what all they had to do. And they had learned the hard way what happens when you disobey, when you ignore God's word. Now, many of us can say amen to that. Yep, I've learned the hard way. Some of you learned the hard way. What happens when you disobey, you know, and God doesn't let off, especially if you're his child, you know, the father chastens the children that he loves. Others that don't belong to the Lord might get away with it, but you notice you and I can't. He's on us right now. Now they stand silently and they listen to God's word. I don't know, it might have been hard to stand there all day. Maybe they took a break for lunch. God's word read out loud so that they could hear it. Not just have heard it a few years ago, or not just looked at it, but they could hear it out loud in their hearing, in their ear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so it was good for Joshua to read it out loud to them and hear it. It would encourage them. It would strengthen their faith. It would remind them of the direction they ought to be going. I can just hear him say, when he got to Exodus chapter 20, I am the Lord your God. You shall not have strange gods before me. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not steal. Can you imagine him just reading that out clearly, God's word? Oh, man. And that's what we ought to do for our junior high, for our high schooler, for our Sunday school, for our adults, for all of us, out loud, God's word. God's word is so important to God that Jesus says in Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. That's how important God's word is to God. Psalm 138:2. I can do this. Listen closely. I know you've heard this before. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. God's word is really important to God. It should be important to us. When he says, you have magnified your word above your name, basically he's saying, your word is what you are. Used to be an old saying, a man is as good as his word. Remember that? Back, those were days when someone would give you their word, they would shake hands, and you had an agreement. A man is as good as his word. That's exactly what God is saying here. God can be trusted, therefore his word can be trusted. Because God's word can be trusted, listen, because God's word can be trusted, God can be trusted. Am I confusing you yet? God's character stands behind his word. His name is his character. When you say God or Lord, you look through scripture and see what the name of the Lord is. You'll see Jehovah Jireh or Jehovah Nisa. And you'll start to see all these things. And what those do is they don't tell you his name. Those tell you different parts of his character. His name is his character. God's word is as good and as solid as he is himself. So it should be much more important to us than it is. We don't worship God's word. We worship the Lord. You worship the Lord God, and him only do you serve. But he's given us his word. Commander Joshua had it written on those stones and read it out loud to God's people. And they listened and paid attention. And you hope that it will work in the lives of these people. Oh, they're going to go bad because they turn out to be people. And as we watch them go, we can learn from their mistakes too, from their sin. We can learn so we don't have to do it. But again, another encouragement as we finish the study, another encouragement to you, to get you and me into the Bible. Are you in the Word of God? Now, you know, some people have time to read it all day. Some people have time to read it once a day or twice a day. And so it's not like you're going to win some kind of, super Christian award at the end of the week if you have read it more than all your friends. If that's how you feel about it and that's what you think, you really missed the whole point. The point is God's Word. To be in God's Word. To be reading through God's Word. To be listening to the Lord. Because he will speak to your heart. You say, I want to know his will. Get into his word. He will show you his will. I want to know his battle plan. Then get into his word. He will show you the strategy for the battle that you're in or for the battle that's coming up. He'll do all those things. Pray and read your Bibles. Let's bow our heads together. Lord, we thank you for your word. Watching this battle unfold, as you've recorded it in your word, there at AI, the mistakes that were made to begin with, the sin. The sad part of it was that it was just not necessary and completely avoidable. And so, Lord, a lesson for our lives, a lesson for our hearts. Help us to remember these things, that we just simply need to trust you and obey. That you'll take care of details. You'll take care of the battle plans. You will give the victory, and you will receive all the honor and glory. Lord, again, cause us to be men and women of your word. We ask you and say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all.